This hour brought to you by GCNLife.com. Live younger, look younger, feel younger at GCNLife.com.
Welcome to the Cortland Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cortland Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I'm your host for the first hour. I hope everybody has a great weekend, and I appreciate everybody for tuning into our show. Remember, check out our website, kereport.com, on a daily basis for daily market commentary and company updates from some of the venture-listed companies that we follow on our site. I am kicking off this show, the first two segments, with a good friend of the show, Jesse Felder. He is the founder of the Felder Report. I highly recommend checking out Jesse's site, and I highly recommend considering signing up for his subscription service, where Jesse has just released a new product that really simplifies some of his trading strategies into the exact vehicles that he is building model portfolios out of. Jesse, I want to start off by taking kind of a step back and looking at the overall markets and some of the important data that you think some people are not paying close attention to. Let's start off with profit margins. Profit margins remain near all-time highs. This is still coming on the back of an earnings season where we saw a lot of lowered expectations, and overall, you could say a bit of a disappointing follow-through in terms of actual results. Can you address this, how profit margins, why they matter?
Yeah, and I think this is probably the number one thing that equity investors should be paying attention to right now. Bob Prince, who's Ray Dalio's partner at Bridgewater, a couple of weeks ago in Davos, he was interviewed, and he said, quote, "You've got a whole series of forces that are turning against corporations and profit margins. So your bigger risk is actually probably in the financial markets rather than in the real economy." So you have everybody talking about the possibility of recession right now, but we're already seeing a profits recession. First quarter profits, corporate profits, are going to be down year over year. And a lot of that is just pressure on profit margins. And the reason this matters is because if you put, you know, a 15 multiple on the S&P 500 today, earnings are $130, that leaves you a price for the index of about $19.50, which is almost 30% below the current level. That would be a painful bear market. But if you get a normalization in profit margins, it would be much more painful. So corporate profits right now, profit margins are at 10%, which is essentially record highs. They've never been higher than this. And they've averaged over time closer to 6%. So if you put a normal profit margin onto the S&P right now, you're looking at earnings of just $78 rather than $130. So put a normalized multiple on that, and you're talking about 1170 on the S&P, which is essentially, more than half below its current level. So I think this is something that people aren't paying attention to. People like Bob Prince clearly are. I think the smart money is really concerned about a reversion in profit margins. And because if that happens, there's plenty of downside for the stock market.
So, Jesse, what do you think has led to these elevated profit margins and the valuations that are put on these stocks? Has it been mostly share buybacks? Has it been all that money that was created simply just hitting the markets, or a combination of a bunch of factors?
Yeah, really the biggest thing, and this is really what I'm paying very close attention to right now. The biggest reason that companies have been able to raise their profit margins so much is the fact that the companies have found ways, various ways, to reward shareholders over labor. And so there, you look at labor's share of profits over time, and it's gone down to record lows. And so you have record highs in profit margins and labor making a record low share of profits. And so I think a lot of that was demographics. We had the baby boom, and you had a huge supply of labor coming into the market. And so labor lost some of its bargaining power. You see that in terms of how many people are in unions. It's all that stuff's at record lows. Also, globalization and the offshoring of labor created another massive supply of labor. All of this put pressure on or downward pressure on labor costs. And so now that, you know, to the extent that we're seeing deglobalization, that, you know, threatens to reverse that. And we're also seeing, you know, labor start to try and take back some power and some profit back from corporations. Last year, we saw the largest number of employee strikes and walkouts since the 80s. And so labor's starting to figure out ways to try and take some of that power back. So these, when you see all this stuff people talking about, Paul Tudor Jones was on CNBC recently talking about how this shareholder first mindset is very, very dangerous, and it's the thing that keeps him up at night because there are going to be social consequences. And when you think about that, it's essentially these sentiments that are brewing politically and in society are really put a direct bullseye, a target, right on corporate profits. And so to the extent that labor is successful in taking back some of this, and, you know, that's, like I said, a function of deglobalization, demographics are now working in labor's favor, profit margins are potentially going to revert towards a more normalized level, and that puts a huge, you know, damper on profit growth and probably on multiples also.
Do you also see some other factors such as these trade wars and tariffs that have been put in place and still continuing on having their impact as well on profit margins?
Absolutely, right? So you're seeing a lot of companies that we've seen recently talk about tariffs and cost pressures and these things, you know, and not to mention just, you know, wage pressures, you know. So we're seeing it already. We're starting to see this reversion in profit margins. And the companies are telling us about it in fourth quarter numbers. I think we'll see even more of it when first quarter numbers come out.
What about inflation, too? Do you see inflation also having pressure on these wage pressures because of the fact that we are starting to see at least services inflation? However, we're not getting the broad headline numbers that are showing a huge skyrocketing inflation, but just the recent data that we have seen, January CPI running year over year about 1.6%, but the core rate 2.2% year over year. It's going to get harder and harder, I think, for these companies to pass on any sort of price increases to the customer as well.
Well, you know, actually, what we're hearing from the companies is that, you know, people are becoming more accustomed to raising prices. And Wall Street Journal, I think last week, they talked about, you know, diapers and a lot of these consumer products companies are passing through cost increases, and they're not really seeing much resistance. And then when you talk about wages, right, if you look at the employment cost index, it's running 4.1% year over year. That's the highest wage gains in the history of that measure, going back to 2002. So wages are going up. That's putting pressure on companies. And then, you know, the CPI came out this week, and yes, headline inflation is down because oil prices are down. But if you look at core inflation, it's running 2.2%. That's higher than people expected. Sticky inflation measures are also, you know, staying high above 2%, as is the, you know, New York Fed's underlying inflation gauge, which I think last month, you know, still, yeah, ran up 2.99% in January. So all these other inflation numbers are pointing to inflation well over 2%. The Fed has been kind of gifted by this drop in oil prices that make it headline inflation drop, but all kinds of other inflation measures are suggesting that inflation is still here and with us.
Very true, Jesse. I know a lot of individuals, the people on the street, see inflation hitting their pocketbooks, but that government data, again, it's just skewed. It's not really accurate or representative for what individuals are feeling. Jesse, we are out of time for this segment, but I am having you back on for our second segment. We will be stepping a little bit away from some of the economic data and looking a bit more at some of the sectors and areas where you see an opportunity. Everybody stick around. Jesse and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
You are listening to GCN. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Bacon lovers, we ship free. Try our amazing bacon. No refrigeration required. Proprietary value-added packaging provides 10-year shelf life and protects the leanest, thickest, center-cut, fully cooked bacon in America today. Ready to eat right from the pouch or warm and serve. Savory and delicious. Wholesale price for your everyday use. Order today at ReadyToEatBacon.com. ReadyToEatBacon.com.
Bags under the eyes, crow's feet, fine lines and wrinkles are things adults complain about as they age. Now, there's Instantly Ageless. It works in minutes and is great for men and women.
I've probably noticed in the past 5 years that my eyes have gained a lot of fine lines, wrinkles, my crow's feet have gotten deeper. Wow. I was hoping for 5 years, but that's like what my eyes looked like 10 years ago.
That is really cool. Wrinkle gone?
It's easy. Just put it on your finger and go.
Now I wish I had more down here because I can still see one wrinkle. It's bugging me.
I am a little bit emotional. I'm turning 40. I didn't think would be a big deal to me, but that looks like the me that I feel like inside instead of what I see when I look in the mirror.
Try Instantly Ageless today at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com. 30-day money-back guarantee and preferred price discount at GCNLife.com. That's GCNLife.com.
Anytime, any place, anywhere, radio remains the most intimate of all forms of media. At home, at work, in the car, on smartphones. Over 90% of consumers still listen to radio every week. That makes choosing radio as a place to advertise your business one of the best decisions you can make. Email advertise at GCNLive.com and partner up with an experienced GCN representative. Advertise at GCNLive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Maybe not today, maybe not tomorrow, but soon you'll need a plan and place to survive. Forget bunkers. You're not a live underground gopher. You need survivalist camps, the ultimate fully functional off-the-grid mobile survival bug out house that's well equipped and custom built to outlast any other RV or trailer. Bold statement, you bet. See them now at survivalistcamps.com. That's survivalistcamps.com. Trust your family's survival to survivalistcamps.com.
Hello, I'm Mike Lindell, the inventor of My Pillow, and like all of you out there, I have problems sleeping. Pillows would go flat, I would flip-flop all night long, I would wake up with a sore neck, maybe a headache, or feel like I needed a nap even though I slept 8 hours. When I invented My Pillow, I wanted it to where you could move the patented fill to give you the exact support you need as an individual, regardless of sleep position. My Pillow will get you into that deep REM sleep faster, and you will stay there longer. It's not about how much time we spend in bed, it's about how much of that quality sleep we get. I do all of my own manufacturing right here in the United States. I have a 10-year warranty. You can wash and dry my pillow, and I give you a 60-day money-back guarantee, so you have nothing to lose. And here's my best offer ever. You can buy one of my pillows and get one absolutely free.
Go to MyPillow.com or call 800-870-0305 and use promo code GCN. That's MyPillow.com or 800-870-0305 with promo code GCN.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists. Get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and sling bows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow. A new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Cortland Economics Report.
All right, welcome back. I am continuing my conversation with Jesse Felder, founder of the Felder Report. Jesse, as I promised at the tail end of last segment, we are going to be focusing on some of the sectors where you see opportunities, because actually just recently we have seen the equity markets January being the best January since 1987, but there's still a lot of naysayers out there saying this is just a potentially a bit of a bear market bounce and we should see these markets head back down. But again, these markets are so determined by headlines and tweets. Where do you see the overall markets heading in the short to medium term, at least initially?
Well, there's two really fascinating price analogs that I'm looking at right now. And for me, you know, a lot of people don't like, basically it's just overlaying, you know, one chart over the previous charts to see, you know, how closely they match. And you know, a lot of people don't like this, but Paul Tudor Jones traded the 1987 crash successfully, made $1 billion in a day by using the 1929 price analog. And for me, when I use these price analogs, I like to find a lot of other, you know, economic similarities between the time periods, news that really kind of bring home the parallels. And the two that I'm looking at really closely are early 2001. I think there's a lot of close parallels to that rally that was, you know, early in 2001 in that bear market. And then also the 1937, I just wrote about this one. Ray Dalio first brought this up, you know, a few years ago. And the similarities between, you know, what went on in the economy back then, having a huge crash, having a really nice rally, 300% rally up until 1937. Fed tightens overly. The Treasury was even sterilizing gold inflows, which is, you know, has a very similar effect, and also the same exact dollar amount, inflation adjusted, as quantitative tightening is happening today. So there's so many interesting parallels. And then the price overlay, you know, between the 3 years ended today and the 3 years ended in about mid-1937, it's about a 97% correlation between those stock market patterns. And so there's just some really interesting things. I think we're still early on. This is a bear market rally. We're still early on in a bear market. And those two time periods tell us a lot about what to expect going forward.
Okay, very interesting. History consistently does repeat itself in the markets, and I do think that looking back and sharing some of those analogs can be very important. I know you like talking about the metals as well, so I want to discuss how precious metals, especially gold, has performed in the face of the recent rising markets and U.S. dollar just this week breaking above 97. It hasn't had a breakout yet, still looking at about that 97.50 level, but the dollar has continued to remain quite strong. However, gold still has held fairly well above 1300, at least as we're recording this. What are your comments on the metals in the whole global picture here of markets?
Well, I mean, it's really interesting. You're having comments, essentially, you know, the European, you know, central bank is still at, you know, zero or negative rates, and they just started quantitative tightening, and now they're going into recession. They're totally out of ammo. And I think gold is probably, and the Fed is not much better. You know, with 2.5% rates, the Fed lowered rates from 5.5 to zero during the financial crisis, and it had almost no effect on the stock market plunging. And so I think when the Fed comes out and says, you know, we're going to have to maybe start using quantitative easing as a permanent policy, we're going to have to keep the balance sheet bit, you know, much, much larger than it's been historically. And the ECB, if Europe is going into recession right now, they're going to have to get pretty crazy to try and, in terms of monetary policy, to try and make anything work or support the economy. And so I think gold is starting to sniff these things out and realize that central banks have no ammo, but that's not going to stop them from getting even crazier next time the economy slows in terms of, you know, more deeply negative interest rates or, you know, printing trillions of dollars to support financial assets. And so I think gold is starting to figure this out. But I think the other side of it, too, is while you have the Fed talking about we may have to be much more dovish than we've been in the past and much more aggressive in terms of the balance sheet, you also have the fiscal authorities right now talking about austerity is a policy that doesn't work. We should be able to raise as much debt as we possibly want and have no effect. And so I read somebody on Twitter said, you know, modern monetary theory or the MMT is the, you know, is a gold bug's wet dream. And it's, I mean, it's absolutely true. To the extent that the government and politicians and economists start believing that we can just print our way to prosperity, I mean, gold, the more that philosophy takes hold, the more gold is just going to go nuts. And so I think gold is starting to sniff these things out, both on the monetary side and the fiscal side. And the more that these things move forward, I mean, the closer we get to a massive breakout in the gold price.
Exactly. And I think that's what all the gold bugs and, well, hey, a lot of our guests are looking for is when will that actual breakout happen? Because a lot of the factors that you're pointing to, a Fed turning more dovish and debt just continuing to build, those can be very good drivers, but sometimes they take more and more time to develop. Are you expecting a breakout in gold, say, this year? Or are you looking more into next year, the following couple?
I think it's a good chance this year. I think right now, we're probably a little bit overbought and, you know, people have probably gotten a little bit more excited. I mean, just paying in terms of short-term sentiment. Longer term, obviously, you know, if any institution started putting any exposure into gold, the thing's going to go much, much higher than it is right now. But I think in the short term, the run has been pretty good from 1180-ish to 1305, 1320, whatever. And so, you know, we could probably trade sideways for a little bit. But I think there's a really good chance we break out above that 1350 before the end of this year.
So you talk to a lot of large funds and institutions that, as you kind of alluded to there, just still aren't invested in gold. They might be watching it more closely, but they're still not rushing in by any sense. What do you think it's going to take to truly get them putting some money in play?
Well, I think by the time they start putting money in play, gold's going to be running away from them. You're going to see, but before anybody, there's just no gold out there to be bought. And so I think, like I said, with some of these fiscal policies that we're talking about with the new, you know, Green New Deal and, you know, guarantee, a jobs guarantee, it just, there's, everybody's talking about spending now and nobody's worried about how to pay for it. And that's a recipe for exploding deficits, especially if the economy slows during that process. Deficits start exploding, and if the government's not worried about that and they just kind of allow that to happen, then institutions are going to start flocking to gold. And that's the point where it's really hard to pick an upside target for it because it could be, you know, much, much higher than it is currently. And it's just impossible to know. It's just the only thing that I do know is that in terms of supply and demand, once the demand arrives, the price is going to be much, much higher than it is today.
Jesse, it's great having you on the show. Again, go check out Jesse's site, thefelderreport.com. I will also post a link to the site. And if anybody has any follow-up questions for Jesse or wants to get in touch with them, please email me, fleck@kereport.com. Jesse, great chatting with you. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, Corey. You too.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your 2-month supply, call now toll free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
Gunfire rang out at the Henry Pratt Company in Aurora, Illinois on Friday afternoon. When it was all over, Police Chief Kristen Zeman says 5 people were killed and 5 officers were wounded before the suspect was fatally shot.
The building is 29,000 square feet, and when they located the offender, they engaged in gunfire with him, ultimately killing him.
Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker addressed the senseless violence.
There are no words for the kind of evil
that robs our neighbors of their hopes, their dreams, and their futures.
The shooter, George Martin, was a 15-year employee. Just before a Thursday summit of Catholic bishops to discuss clergy abuse, Pope Francis has defrocked former U.S. Cardinal Theodore McCarrick. He was soliciting sex while hearing confessions. You're listening to USA Radio News.
What does Meals on Wheels do? They deliver meals and smiles to homebound seniors. But Meals on Wheels does something else. They turn a volunteer's lunch break into a meaningful experience.
As small and as simple as the relationship is between a volunteer and a client of Meals on Wheels, it's really so impactful. I never thought that 5 minutes could make so much difference in the lives of two people, but it has.
Drop off a warm meal and get more than you expect. Volunteer at AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. That's AmericaLet'sDoLunch.org. Brought to you by Meals on Wheels America and the Ad Council.
Every hiring manager knows that a company is only as good as the people it's made from. So where do you find the best people? That may surprise you.
Meet the grads of life, young adults of unique determination and experience, an ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
This is talent worth knowing about.
Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Oh, welcome back. Continuing to listen to the first hour of the weekend edition. I hope everybody enjoyed those first two segments that I spent with Jesse Felder. I really think that Jesse shines a very good light on the data and very knowledgeable in terms of what is on the forefront for the U.S. markets and a wide range of markets. In this segment, we are going to shift focus a little bit and talk about the precious metals sector in terms of the stocks a bit more with Byron King. Byron co-writes The Gold Speculator with Jim Rickards. And Byron, the theme of our conversation here is more risk versus de-risk. We're seeing a lot of companies that I think are doing the right thing, but unfortunately, the stocks are still lagging. There just isn't that much money to be raised in the sector, and there are very selective investors right now, and you really need to capture their attention. This is just a function of the sector, again, but when we're looking at companies for more of a long-term play, it's important to understand the de-risking that goes on. What can you say in terms of drilling that you like to see or work being done that might not be getting attention now, but in the long run is crucial and does de-risk projects?
Well, first, it's great to be with you. Thank you. And yes, we are in what I call a stalled sector right now. The gold precious metals sector has kind of stalled out. It's like one of those weather patterns that you see on the weather map on the 11 o'clock news, you know, where something moves in and it just sort of stays there. And, you know, it's just this kind of this scuzzy weather that just kind of won't go away, it won't blow away or whatever. That's where we are now sector-wise. There's not a lot of new money moving in. The money that's in the sector is tied up, but it's stiff. You know, I mean, you can't. In order to move money into one great idea, you've got to sell it out of something else, and maybe that something else is down, or maybe that something else is, you know, that's also a great idea, and you know, you don't want to sell one to get the other, but you're waiting for some movement. Meanwhile, you know, as somebody who plays in the sector, you know, who is in the gold, silver space, you want to look at companies that are taking the money they have and getting, you know, the most of that proverbial bang for the buck. You know, they're de-risking the project. One of the things that seems to move needles lately in for stocks is when a company announces a really great sort of step out or exploration kind of discovery hole. Oh, we drilled, you know, 500 grams per ton over 3 meters, or, you know, 1,000 grams per ton over 4 meters. Okay, yeah, and that kind of moves the needle for the stock. And that's nice, but absent anything else, what that is that's a really interesting science experiment where they found a really interesting mineral deposit. You know, is it economic? Are there mineral economics behind this wonderful, spectacular glory hole that they just announced? You know, I take nothing away from a glory hole. I love glory holes. But you don't want to ignore the companies that are out there just doing the hard, basic work of exploration, advanced stage exploration or early stage development. In particular, companies that are doing things like infill drilling, where they, you know, they've drilled their main set of holes. Now they're drilling inside to really, you know, bulk it up to start to move their resources into a better or more improved category of resources. I mean, they are creating money in the ground when they do that. That's money in the bank. But share price-wise, they're getting no reward for it. Now, eventually, you know, when the price of gold does go up and when the whole sector does start to move, when the stalled sector, you know, starts to blow away and we start to get some action again, those kind of de-risked projects that have been technically de-risked either by drilling or even just by remodeling the same data, companies that have gone back to their original data, but they've tweaked the model, they've used a different, some different software, different ways of looking at it. Those companies are going to be sitting there in a sweet spot, waiting to move sharply upwards. You know, another angle on risk and de-risk, and you can't really change this by drilling. This is more, you know, kind of, you know, getting down to the DNA of the company. Where is it located? I mean, you know, you do want to be with companies that are in, you know, good, solid, jurisdictions that make life easier versus make life more difficult. You know, are you in the Yukon? Are you in Northwest Territories? Are you in Quebec? You know, I mean, if you're in Mexico, I mean, I like northern Mexico versus southern. I mean, not, you know, I mean, I look at a southern Mexico project too, but I, you know, northern tends to be a little more under control. Ecuador is up and coming in terms of its, political jurisdictional viability. Peru has come around. Peru's doing well. Brazil with the new government down there. I mean, they're really, they're getting on track again. So you know, you look at the jurisdiction, but then you want to look at companies that are de-risking in a technical sense. You know, either by doing the right kind of drilling or retweaking the data that they already have on the books.
Yeah, I agree with you, Byron, and especially right now that infill drilling is getting no love in the market, which makes it really tough for these companies to spend the money that is needed to de-risk the project, especially when you look at the share price and understand that the best case scenario is kind of a sideways move. But that's just the market that we are in. You mentioned some of the jurisdictions that you find attractive and some that are also improving. Do you think that there is a strategy here to get in early in these newer jurisdictions or changing jurisdictions, or should they still be focusing on these more established jurisdictions, say in Canada, in Ontario or Quebec, or in the U.S. in Idaho or in Nevada, that they should maybe stick to because of how much better known they are?
Well, you know, if it's between one or the other, I would go for safety. I mean, because the geology really doesn't care about the lines on the map, and it doesn't care, you know, who occupies the Capitol building up on the surface. The geology is what it is, and so if you can find a good piece of geology in, you know, Nevada or Idaho or the Yukon or Northwest Territories or Quebec, you know, go for it, as opposed to some other, you know, good piece of geology, you know, on the far side of the planet, you know, in some of these places that, you know, that, I'm not even going to get into the names. You know, I don't want to flame anybody's work or anybody's effort or whatever. But I mean, in terms of the Rickards Gold Speculator newsletter that I write, I mean, if you look at, you know, the companies that I've listed in the portfolio, they're in the Yukon, they're in Northwest Territories, they're in, you know, Quebec, Nunavut, you know, Northern Mexico. I mean, I've got a couple Ecuador, a couple, you know, Peru. It's what I like. It's what I'm more comfortable with. There's great geology out there waiting for the drill bit. And you can say, well, you know, they've been exploring in Nevada for 150 years, to which I say, well, what they've been doing in Nevada, they've been prospecting for 150 years. You know, the exploration with modern techniques, I mean, it's a lot less than that. You know, up in the Yukon, I mean, they've been kicking rocks for 120 years in the Yukon. You know, guys with their canoes and their little mules and their little sticks of dynamite and their picks and everything. But yeah, they've been picking the place over for 120 years. Exploring the Yukon? No. The Yukon is an absolute frontier territory, as is Northwest Territories. I mean, some of these places that are, you know, post-glacial terrain where, you know, you've literally got exposed Precambrian bedrock right at the surface that's been scraped off by the glaciers. I mean, this stuff is waiting to be uncovered by modern exploration techniques. And so you can, there's some really great things with upside, you know, in places like Northwest Territories or Nunavut, you know, places like that.
All right. I appreciate that update there, Byron. It's important right now to be very, very selective in the resource sector because, again, there just isn't a bunch of cash flying in and being available for these companies to continue their exploration. They need to be doing smart work, and even when they come to development, they need to be doing it in the right process so that they can conserve what cash they have but still move the project forward and hopefully garner that attention from some of those investors that are paying attention with there. Byron, great chatting with you. Everybody, stick around. I'm going to be right back wrapping up the show with Rick Bensinger. Thanks again, Byron.
Thanks a lot, yes.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNlive.com today.
Do you feel like many of us? All the distractions in the world taking our minds and focus off what really needs to get done day to day? Well, Jeunesse has a dietary supplement called Mind to help with mental distraction, and it supports memory function. Go to GCNlife.com now to check it out. You're only at your best when your mind is at its best. Go to GCNlife.com or call toll free 844-443-6637. That's GCNlife.com or 844-443-6637.
The Genesis Communications Network is one of America's premier broadcasters of captivating talk radio. We thank you for listening. Now, just imagine, there are thousands of people who are just as passionate about radio as you are. But what you may not realize is how easy and affordable it is to advertise with us. Radio commercials for your business could be heard on hundreds of radio stations across the U.S. every day. We can help you by creating an effective radio advertising campaign for your company. From script writing to producing your commercial, just like the one you're listening to right now. No other network provides the level of customer service we do. When it comes to radio advertising, we are your one-stop shop. And no matter how big or small your business is, we can help. Email us at advertise@gcnlive.com and an experienced advertising executive will help you take the first step towards driving more customers to your business or website. Advertise@gcnlive.com. Easy, affordable, effective.
Most of you know that heart disease is the number one silent killer in the U.S. What if I told you for just $54.95 a month you could fight against heart disease naturally? At Heart and Body Extract, we've been helping thousands of people get back to a healthier heart. Don't just take my word for it. Check out all of the success stories at hbextract.com. Or to order, call 866-295-5305. That's 866-295-5305. hbextract.com. Don't risk it when you can take charge of it.
Have you checked your Google search results lately? Search results are usually the first impression that people form of you or your business. So make sure that they create a positive impression with ReputationDefender.com. What the internet says about you can have a big impact on your life and your livelihood, even if it's not true. Fortunately, you can now control how you look online and in online search results with ReputationDefender.com. Call 800-831-0771 now. That's 800-831-0771 for your free Reputation
documentation analysis. If you have negative material from an ex-employee, upset patient, or former client, newspaper article, legal issue, social media, or other source showing up in your search results, you can combat it with ReputationDefender.com. Our dedicated experts in patented technology can help make your online search results look their best. Call 800-831-0771 to learn more. 800-831-0771. That's 800-831-0771. Or visit ReputationDefender.com.
Many people believe they don't control their own destiny because they haven't chosen to take the first step towards the life they've always dreamed of. Let them continue just getting by while you make the choice to do something about your future. Imagine working from home, earning the income you deserve. Start small or dream big. Work part-time or full-time. You choose the pace. Just visit startlivingyoung.com. That's startlivingyoung.com. And click on the Be Your Own Boss tab. Discover Juness, a state-of-the-art global health products company that spent 5 years on the Inc. 5,000 fastest-growing private companies in America list. With over $1 billion a year in sales, they'll provide all the tools you need to thrive and succeed. And you'll be blown away by how little it takes to get started. Visit startlivingyoung.com today and click on the Be Your Own Boss tab at the top of the page. 2019 will be the year your new life begins. Your destiny awaits at startlivingyoung.com.
Welcome back. Here to wrap up the first hour of the weekend edition. This is going to be an extended interview, so everybody who is listening on the radio, please visit our website or podcast, kereport.com, or search Corlin Economics Report to get this full interview. But just knowing the topics that I'm going to be covering in this topic, I know that it is going to run a little bit longer than the radio segment will allow us to go. I am wrapping up this show with Rick Bensignor. He writes the Bensignor Investment Strategies newsletter. He has quickly become one of my favorite guests to have on the show, as well as some of the other guests that I have had just on this weekend show. Rick, what I first want to talk about is what we've been seeing right now, early on in 2019 for the U.S. equity markets, this gradual melt-up and lower volatility. It's not really anything that I think any commentators were expecting after that pretty devastating fall that we had in October, November, and December, and that bottom that was put in December. What are some of your comments about how this year is starting off and how different it could be from what people were expecting just a couple months ago?
Corey, first of all, thanks for having me on. I'll completely agree that if you go back a few months to the fourth quarter of 2018, you wouldn't find a single person on the street who would have foresaw that the beginning of 2019 would not only be a melt-up, but would kind of be a grind higher that's had virtually no pullback and volatility that's come in considerably. The VIX is now down into the 14 handle. Right? We closed sub-15 today being Friday. And this is the lowest close in VIX since the first week of October. So this is certainly, I think, a surprise to a lot of people on the street. I will tell you, to me, it's been the degree of the melt-up without any pullback is somewhat surprising, but the fact that the market's moved up is not surprising. We've been telling clients we said the Christmas low in early January, we said the Christmas low was a good low. By mid-January, we actually upped that to say it's not just going to be a good low for short term, it's going to be the low for the move. So the fact that the market's moved up, I think, has caught lots of people by surprise. And you see a fair amount of actually technicians out there who have just been blown away by this because they're using standard tools that are looking at moving averages to lean on. First, they leaned on the 50-day, then the 200-day Fibonacci numbers. All they're kind of typical tools that would say this is all it should go and pull back. And one by one, I keep seeing them fall by the wayside. And I think it's because they didn't spot the fact that that low in December was actually a major cyclical low. And I think that's the difference between what we've been able to tell our clients compared to lots of other people is if you identified that low as being the low of the move and not one that was going to be tested, and we were also very clear that there was no reason to expect a test of the, what was it, around 2350 low in the S&P, then you've been playing the bullish side as we have, and this thing just keeps going. And I am getting closer to taking some shorter-term profits, probably by, I would think, midweek next week. We may very well lighten up a little bit and look for what could be a 100-point pullback. But this has certainly taken a lot of people by surprise, and I think the people hurting the most are the long-only crowd who in fourth quarter had moved towards defensive names and out of cyclicals. And if they've been slow to turn and flip their portfolios back, they are hurting this year. That is a mistake. And the longer they hold out waiting to have some chance to flip their book, the more pain they're going to be in. Because even if the market pulls back, the defensives may do well for that short little pullback, but I think that you really want to kind of have cyclical exposure in the market, and that's not where most people are positioned.
Hey, you're right. There's still a lot of skeptics out there regarding this run in the markets, but as you even pointed out, some of the standard technical indicators that people have been watching, they have consistently been, well, getting broken. And when we come to some of the indicators or some of the aspects that you were looking at that December low and saying this very well could be this almost global low for markets around the world, one thing that really catches my eye is this advanced decline line. So it takes into account all of the stocks and it judges just how much money is flowing in a broad sense to a number of these stocks. That pullback that we had in the fourth quarter, the advanced decline line did not even pull back below that late January, early February low that we saw in the markets from earlier 2018. And now if you look at it on an S&P basis, on a Dow basis, the fact of the matter is we're breaking to new all-time highs here. Is this one consideration that you had? And if so, what are some of the other ones?
All right, so I think part of this would depend upon which advanced decline line you look at. I look at the New York Stock Exchange advanced decline line, and it did, in fact, in December, breach beneath the February lows that we saw, but there are other breadth indicators, so it all depends which one you're looked at to judge that piece of the puzzle. What I'm looking at now on the New York, the NYSE advanced decline line is we're awfully close to all-time highs. We're not, it's not quite there, but we're not a heck of a lot of distance away from it. On the bottom, in December, one of the key indicators we look at for to help us kind of time exhaustion of trend is a model that was developed in the 1970s by a gentleman named Tom DeMark, who's known on the institutional side of Wall Street. Every once in a while, he'll pop up on Bloomberg and CNBC and do a quick hit talking about the markets. But generally, this is a brilliant model designer, and his models are generally not accessible to the public, but are to institutions. And in fact, just kind of as a side note, I was just down in Florida talking at the Money Show conference and did a presentation helping to explain to individual investors they don't necessarily have all the tools at their disposal that institutional investors do. And when I created In the Know Trader, the newsletter I have for individual investors, it was designed and born from the fact that I want to give the average guy on the street the same type signals and models that institutions have at their hands to kind of even out the playing field a little bit. And I've been having several people write me and sign up and say, you know, I'm learning more and more that it's not such a fair mark in the sense that we don't have access to everything that the big boys do. So when we take a look at breadth was one of the indicators that literally one day before the bottom had an exhaustion signal to the downside, and that matched up with a downside target I had in the S&P of 2371, which got breached by just 1%. And the day later, we had that 1,000-point up move in the Dow and the 115-point up move in the S&P. And that very much helped me feel like that's definitely a good low. And as I said, just a couple weeks later, we said, that's more than just a good low. That's the low. So we've been shying towards the bullish side, and breadth figures and other things have really helped us there in helping pinpoint the low. And now they are getting stretched to the upside. And as I said, we may pair some exposure back this week. But by and large, if I'm correct that the global equity markets made their bottom in December, and you have to remember that for all of 2018, Europe and Asia were pretty much selling off the entire year. It was the S&P and the U.S. markets that were holding global markets, at least from completely falling apart. The fact that this signal that I saw came in on the All Country World Index, which is an ETF, it's ACWX, which excludes the U.S., that got the buy signal in December, and therefore, to me, that's a major bottom, not just for the U.S., but for all global equity markets. And therefore, I've said to clients, there was no bear market. We're not in a bear market. This is not a dead cat bounce that people keep trying to sell into and consistently lose money in. This is the beginning of another leg higher in the bull market.
All right, Rick, unfortunately, we are out of time for this segment on the radio, but as I mentioned on the onset, we are going to continue this conversation, and if anybody wants to hear this full discussion where Rick and I do touch on some of the other markets outside of the U.S. markets, please visit kereport.com. In the meantime, everyone, I hope you have a great weekend. I appreciate you tuning in, and as always, stay in touch, Fleck at kereport.com. I love hearing from all of you. Thanks for tuning in, everyone.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Know someone with a drinking or drug problem? Learn how to get sober after we share these stories.
I was 35 with two beautiful children when my life and addiction started to spiral out of control. After my divorce, I went into a depression cycle and started drinking more often and using prescription drugs. After my second DWI and arrest, my ex-husband threatened to take our children away from me.
I was 17 when I became addicted to heroin and meth. I thought I could quit on my own, but I couldn't. It hit me when I was arrested.
Get sober now. Your private insurance may cover costs, and we'll get you here. It's simple. Just call Elite Rehab Placement right now, please. Don't wait. Your life matters to us. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. 800-213-9264. Call right now before it's too late. 800-213-9264.
Hunters, anglers, campers, and survivalists, get back to nature. Expand your horizons with the highest quality, most versatile, unique slingshots and slingbows on the market at slingbow.com. Slingbow products are compact and models start from just $17.98. They're perfect for your bug-out bag or storing in your vehicle. Give yourself and your loved ones the excitement and tradition of slingbow, a new frontier in archery and truly modern twist on this primitive survival tool. Feel the thrill only at slingbow.com.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. I started fighting the IRS over 40 years ago when they tried to seize my mother's house. I sued the IRS and won. I beat the IRS then, and I've been beating them ever since. I wrote the book on tax debt settlement, and I've helped thousands of people deal with tax problems they thought might never be solved. I can help you too. If you owe taxes you can't pay, don't wait another day. There's no such thing as a hopeless tax case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, danpilla.com. That's danpilla.com, danpilla.com.